People are creatures of habit. That's how God made us. That's one of the reasons God gave us songs to sing. And we've talked about that before as far as like pattern recognition and things like that go, but it also has to do with habit and building habits. And, you know, if you always listen to the Beatles, then chances are at some point you'll just start singing a Beatles song out of nowhere. Well, if you're always singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, then chances are you'll just start singing a hymn out of nowhere. It'll just pop into your mind. And that has to do with the patterns, but that has to do with building a habit. And he even tells us to build that habit. He says, if you're cheerful, sing, right? If you're suffering, pray. He said he gives us habits in the Bible to build. And we have to make a conscious effort to do that. Now, we'll build habits without thinking about it. That's why it has to be a conscious effort to build the habits that we want to build. It turns out that if you just got bored and wanted to write down every song that we sung for a year, we've got, what, 702 in the red book and 151 in the blue? So we've got like 850 songs. 50% of the songs we'll sing will be the same 100 songs. There are actually some congregations that take advantage of that. They change songbooks every year or every 2 years or something like that, and their songbook only has 150 songs. You wanted to sing Count Your Blessings today, Justin? Too bad. That was last year's songbook. We don't have it in this year's songbook. Helps to keep you from getting in a rut, helps you to teach one another other things. And there have been some people that have been trying to get us to sing some new songs, I've noticed. But we build that habit of singing the same 100 songs, 150 songs all the time, because that's how we're wired to do these habits. And building the correct habits is part of the war. The spirit wars against the flesh wars against the spirit. The flesh will build its own habits on its own. You don't got to worry about that, except that you do have to worry about that, because it doesn't always build the best habits in the world. And it takes effort to build good habits. So when Paul says that you're supposed to, you know, look at the pure, the true, the lovely, the things of good report, to focus on these things, to meditate on these things, it doesn't work to think, yeah, I know that. I'm supposed to meditate on this. You have to build that habit. You have to think about it. You have a task there to do. It's not going to just happen. It's not going to be like, I know I should do that, so I'll just do it. That's not how it works. You have to work at it. You have to build it. And so that brings us to the church. Because habits are easier to augment in a group or with a partner. Bad company corrupts good moral habits, right? Some translations say good morals, some say good habits, some say good moral habits. Bad company messes up your good habits. Good company reinforces your good habits. These are things that we know. It's obvious to everyone. That's why there are addiction groups, right? Because it's easier to break the bad habit in a group with support. That's why there are exercise and diet groups, because it's easier to build a good habit in a group with support. So church is a support group. And not particularly the assembly. The assembly helps, but the assembly isn't really giving us that one-on-one, right? It really isn't giving us even that one-to-group direct support. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are a whole lot of people looking at me right now. It makes me nervous. I actually find that churches work better when they're in a semicircle or even an entire circle. Because everyone's looking at everyone. And it helps build that idea of support better. But that's not the kind of support that builds habits. That's too many people to build habits well. It's not a good idea to have a diet group that's 100 people. You know why? Because it's easy to make sure nobody looks at you. You need a smaller group. You need a subgroup or even just a buddy, just somebody there. And this works with both kinds, right? This works with building good habits. So something that I've heard talked about before is using the drive to work for some kind of spiritual purpose, right? Spend it praying, spend it meditating, listen to the Bible, something like that. And that's good. But again, it's hard to build habits on your own. They say that, you know, if you set up your goal, don't miss a single day, you're setting yourself up for failure. Something's going to happen. You're going to miss a day. But it really doesn't make sense to not miss 2 days in a row. But man, it's easier to miss 2 days in a row when it's just you than it is when there's somebody else there that you're accountable to. And again, you build habits all on your own without even thinking about it. A lot of people build the radio habit, right? The radio's on before they even get out of the driveway. Even if they think, I'm going to make a habit, I'm going to listen to the Bible, or I'm going to pray, or I'm going to whatever in the world, you get up and you're getting breakfast and you're ready and you get to the car and the radio's on before you're out of the driveway. And you're like, oh, I wasn't going to do that. But it's built in, right? That habit was set. But if you turn the radio on and your phone rings because your buddy that you're going to pray with, or your buddy that you're going to listen to, I don't know how long y'all's commutes are, 10 minutes of scripture, and then talk about it with them for 20 minutes, when they call you, and they're either saying, hey, time to do that thing, or they're saying, hey, why didn't you call me? It's time to do that thing. You're the one supposed to call me. It helps. Chances are, if you've got yourself a 15, 30-minute commute or whatever, somebody else here has got one at the same time. That's an example. There are obviously other things. If your one free night a week is Thursday nights, chances are somebody else has a Thursday night free. It could be online. It could be via, you know, Messenger or Snapchat if you're much younger than me. But it works with the breaking bad habits too. It's important to have an accountability partner. No matter what your problem is. Just use an example. If you're letting something eat up all the time in your life, right? It could be whatever. It could be video games. You're like, man, I spend 4.5-5 hours a day playing video games. That's too much. I mean, video games are fine, but that's too much. I'm not getting things done that I need to get done. Find somebody to be an accountability partner. It can't be someone in your house. Don't get me wrong. Siblings are great. Spouses are great. It's not the same. Find somebody else. Find somebody willing to beat you up when you mess up. Report to them every day. Hey, I spent 1.5 hours. Hey, you know, I spent 4 hours last night. Let that person help you. All right, man, what can I do? You want me to call you? You want me to call you like at 8 every day? Hey, you already got your 1.5 hours in, buddy? Yeah, just one more turn. No. No. I've almost beat this boss. Maybe. Or maybe you're going to die 300 more times before you beat him. Do it tomorrow. Reach out. Let us help one another. That brings us to the invitation. The invitation's kind of awkward. I don't like standing up here. I don't like all you people looking at me. And it turns out it's even worse when you've got something that you want to confess or something like that. All right, I already feel bad, and now everyone's going to look at me. But the real point of the invitation is to start a conversation. It's to start a series of actions. The invitation is not a one-and-done thing. It's a beginning. So whether it's baptism, whether it's like, hey, I want to start the conversation that I'm ready to confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the Son of God. I'm ready to be baptized. I'm ready to start a walk following Him. That's the start, right? So you can come up here and start that conversation. You can start the conversation of repentance. But there are plenty of other conversations that you can start. You can start a conversation of celebration. saw somebody come forward one time and they said, I want to repent for not celebrating. Basically, this good thing happened in my life and I didn't give glory to God over it. What was I thinking? So I want to tell you about the good thing that happened in my life. I want to give glory to God, and I'd love for somebody to come up here and say a prayer thanking God for this great thing. That's a great thing to come forward for. Something that actually works better if we were in a circle and not like this. But calls for help are also a conversation that you can start. Not that you're particularly going to repent. Maybe you repent and then you call for help. Maybe you've already repented. Maybe you've already prayed in your closet. But praying in your closet doesn't build the support group that helps you build the good habits. So you can come up. You can say, you know what? I prayed to God. I repented. I'm trying so hard. But I've got this problem with whatever it is. Gluttony. Man, I just like once a week, I have like a 6,000 calorie meal. That's not right. But it gets back to that other lesson I gave about openness, right? You come up here and you say it and you're like, hey, I need help. That gives somebody an opportunity to be a good Christian and to help you. That gives somebody who's already had that struggle the visibility into your life to be like, hey, I've been there. It's never gone. It's like they say about alcoholism, right? The person that's been sober for 20 years, it's not gone. It's still there in their head. And that motivates them to help somebody that's just trying to get sober. And helping that person that's just trying to get sober helps keep them sober because it's still a struggle after even 20 years. And that applies to gluttony, obsessing over video games, swearing, infidelity, lying. Anything big, anything small, you can need help. So if you need help, come forward while we stand and sing.